Hi everyone, my name is Chris and I'm host of the Stellar Spark Show. And it's been quite a while since our last episode. I believe our last episode was in December of last year. And our last episode was mostly about Russia and Ukraine, and today's episode is going to follow that same theme today. Starting off with some things we've been hearing in the news about the situation in Ukraine and the crisis in Ukraine right now. So I wanted to provide you a few key events that have been taking place and some of my thoughts on them. I'm going to try and keep this discussion as focused as possible, as academic as possible. So we need to start off with how things have been going in the last few months. And it appears that tensions have continued to rise between the two countries. And I'm strictly going to be talking about the situation with Crimea to provide you a little bit of background about what had happened with that situation and how this has ramped up tensions until today. So, of course, as we know, back in 2014, during the Obama administration, Russia invaded and annexed the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine, and it's part of a larger conflict. And exactly 8 years ago today, Putin was working on getting Crimea back into Russia, right, escalating the military threats and following through on them in some cases with Crimea. But the Russians really don't like the idea of the annexation label, but rather that the people there in certain parts of the peninsula want autonomy and self-determination. And that's their point of view as it pertains to the situation. So there were a lot of demonstrations that happened with the annexation of Crimea. Russia ended up walking into the Crimea by seizing the Supreme Council of Crimea, which is essentially Crimea's legislature and parliament. They seized it. They really didn't have uniforms. They were known as little green men, right? So they didn't really have uniforms that to be identified. And it was seized. And then the Russians made sure to cut off Crimea from the rest of Ukraine and doing blockades and other military maneuvers in order to prevent Crimea from getting any assistance from Ukraine. And Russia, obviously, broke a lot of agreements. So there have been a lot of legal problems that came up as well. And again, I'm not a lawyer or anything like that, but I did study international law. And there were a lot of treaties that they signed regarding the integrity of the land. And again, so Putin, it seems like, just in general, with his attitude towards the Ukraine, is really trying to take a caretaker role, in a sense, where Putin is saying, well, okay, we're just going to make sure that everything runs smoothly so that people get independence. And in that, he's probably thinking ostensibly that the country is just going to fall apart at that point, because Ukraine is slowly losing control over all of these regions. And I see a lot of similarities in a parallel to Syria right now, where we can see a situation like that with Ukraine, because a lot of these regions are starting to fall apart in Ukraine. And this was the beginning of it with the Crimea divvying up Ukraine piece by piece and hoping that it'll fall apart into autonomous regions, when then Russian separatists can move in and then assert their dominance. and take over the land. Obviously, Russia would support those people. We're seeing that in parts of Ukraine, that I'm going to get to later in this episode. So it says there the Budapest Memorial, which I was not aware of, but I ended up researching it, that Russia really was supposed to respect the territorial integrity of Ukraine and not really use force, right? Using force on that. So that was one of the agreements. Obviously, Russia disregarded that. And then they did a referendum of a status referendum for of the Ukraine, excuse me, of Crimea. So Putin's rationale was, okay, we're going to take a referendum. We're going to see, all right, does the Crimea want to remain or stay or leave? So in doing this, Putin would try and get legitimacy, right? To say, okay, well, the people of Crimea want to be under Russia or they want to be independent, and let's let the people decide, and then we'll use that as a basis for what we're going to do. Obviously, Ukraine denounced that. They didn't think it was valid. And it was held, and then the people obviously said they were in favor of seceding, joining Russia. But we have to question the legitimacy of that, right? You have to question the legitimacy of that. So then there was a short Republic of Crimea. It didn't last long, and it became a subject of Russia. And then they tried to finalize that. So basically, in short, Russia just walks into Crimea and says, okay, you guys want to be independent? We're going to make that happen. And then they just take it over and admit it to Russia. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what happened with Crimea. Now we have to get up to the present day. So we got to get up to around the present day now. So this is in the present crisis of this year. So what happened in since the last year or so, last March, Putin's been setting up the military. He's been building up the military, mobilizing troops, doing a mobilization of troops, putting troops into formations to be prepared for war. And they're building up the military, and that's been going on for about a year or so. And the major issue that really has been going on, a few things with Putin, is that since the Cold War, ever since the Cold War, let's take a step back a little bit. So during the Cold War, you obviously had the two blocs. You had the NATO bloc and the Warsaw Pact, and tensions kept ramping up between the two. We had a Cold War, a prolonged Cold War between both sides, funding proxy wars with each other, indirectly fighting each other. Then it culminated in the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. The Soviet Union fell apart. A lot of those areas under the Soviet Union, under the Soviets' control, got independence. Became sovereign nations, such as Ukraine and others. Also, Belarus, I believe Poland as well. So all these nations became their own, right? They became their own nations. So today, up until today, so Russia now. The problem is that Russia wanted security, called so-called security guarantees from the West or the U.S., saying that you have to pull the missile defense systems out of Ukraine, that Ukraine should never join NATO, because obviously if Ukraine joins NATO, which is this alliance of member states of like 20 member states, that's going to threaten Russia, right? That's going to threaten Russia's hegemony or Russia's influence over Eastern Europe. So they absolutely didn't want Ukraine to be a member of NATO. Obviously, the U.S. didn't want to do either of those. They didn't want to meet those demands. And thus, now we have this ratcheting of tensions, the ramping up of tensions here, where Russia, I think, now is trying to use influence at the bargain. It uses as influence as the bargaining table by recognizing those two parts of Ukraine as independent, autonomous regions. And I think that Putin is going to use that as leverage to get people to try to get people to bend his demands. And we'll have to see if that is successful or not. So there's been an escalation for starting on this month. There have been fighting in the Donbas region, which is one of the regions Russia has recognized as autonomous or independent. But as we know, the U.S. doesn't see that, right? We don't see it from that point of view. And here it appears from a lot of reports that I heard on the news that Russia is really going to try and pose a so-called false flag operation to really, shift responsibility onto Ukraine for something the Russians actually did, so that they can get the blame for it, and that'll be a casus belli for war, right? The cause for war would be that, in this case, that Ukraine would attack Russian infantry vehicles or infantry, and then Russia can use that as a justification for saying, okay, now we're going to invade Ukraine because they attacked us first, and then they go from there. So as the last few days, again, Russia recognized these two regions in the Ukraine, and Putin signed decrees on the recognition of the republics as well. And then he made this long speech yesterday, which I was baffled by and quite confused by as well. And I'm sure a lot of other people were too, where he made this long rambling speech about Bolshevik communist Russia, talking about Vladimir Lenin and how he separated Ukraine from Russia, that Ukraine would inevitably join NATO, and that now Russia could no longer ignore this, right? That Ukraine would gain nuclear weapons and et cetera, such other things here. So that move, recognizing those two regions, as well as now going to send troops into those regions, moving troops there, and what Russia said was a so-called, quote, peacekeeping mission, was met with a response by the U.S. saying it was, in fact, an invasion. Because, again, Putin's claims, I think, are really spurious in that he is asserting that the shared history between the two nations is leading to a legitimate claim for territorial expansion of Russia into the Ukraine, and it could not be further from the truth. Let me say that now. Let me say it again. It could not be further from the truth what is being espoused by President Putin, in my opinion. Making these claims about Ukraine, totally ignoring the sovereignty of a nation, and now Ukraine is beginning its preparations to deal with this potential Russian invasion here, this Russian aggression. So again, Russian forces were taking warlike formations surrounding the border of Ukraine. Ukraine declared a state of emergency. Ukrainian military is getting ready for battle to prepare itself. They encouraged citizens that lived in Russia to leave as soon as possible. And I think these are good measures. I think that they're trying to safeguard their people, the protections of their citizens. I think that's the right thing to do in this situation. And obviously, I'm hoping for the best for them at this point. Some other things that the U.S. and the West are doing, they're putting sanctions on top Russian officials and wealthy Russians in order to put pressure on their economy. But as pointed out before by other commentators, that sanctions are pretty much an after-the-fact measure. We really need to deter future Russian aggression. The only ways really to do that is by projecting military strength. And by saying that, I don't mean using the military to using force, military force, in a sense. I'm talking about deterrence and using the military to deter any potential Russian, any further Russian aggression that we're starting to see. Because I'm seeing a lot of things that remind me of the situation in World War II, when basically Hitler was brought to the table by Neville Chamberlain, and Chamberlain asked them, "Will you promise not to invade Belgium or the next country?" And Hitler just affirmed that. He said yes. And then the next day, he rolls the tanks in there. And I could see a situation that happens like this. And the U.S. cannot afford to be reactive in this situation. What I think needs to happen, in my opinion, in my assessment, and I'm not an expert at this, but I do think that the U.S. forces that we have in Eastern Europe, I think they should form a defensive perimeter around the capital of Ukraine to help out if Ukraine wants that. Because it's a lot easier for that defense to go on rather than leave the country defenseless against Russia, because it could fall in a very short amount of time, most likely, according to a lot of the estimates I've been hearing on the news. Also, if Russia ended up attacking America, the NATO charter would be invoked, Article 5 in the NATO charter. An attack on one is an attack on all, and obviously Russia would not want to get involved with a war with Ukraine, in Ukraine with NATO, all member states in NATO. The second thing I think would be getting warships into the Baltic Sea to form a blockade to prevent Russian ships moving into the ports of Ukraine or near the waters of Ukraine. I think that would be something that could be helpful. Evacuating Ukrainian civilians to get them to safe zones elsewhere in Europe, to establish those, I think those would be something that should be looked at. And then the last one would probably be working out a diplomatic solution that involves removing the missile defense systems in Ukraine temporarily, and for Ukraine not to join NATO, which is one or both of the things that Russia is demanding. I think it's important for the U.S. not to give in, but we got to come to the table on certain things. If Russia makes a concession, I think the U.S. should make a concession. If that's going to prevent civilians from getting involved in this war, I think that it's definitely worth it to go in with a diplomatic solution and work through the diplomacy before all that war erupts. So the last thing, final thoughts, just to bring everything together. I do think Putin's claim to Ukraine is just ludicrous. I think it's spurious. This is not the Cold War. This is not 1922. We do live in an international system that's anarchic, but it's really never an excuse to invade or occupy a sovereign nation. Just because Russia and Ukraine share an extensive history doesn't mean that it gives them a right to invade the country. It's basically like saying England and America have a long history, so England's coming back to subjugate us to their will. That's really not how it works in the world. So in a practical sense, this could cause a larger scale humanitarian disaster not seen since the Second World War. And I think that all of Europe and all the world's got to be on board against Russia doing these things. So that is really all that I have for this episode. If you enjoyed, please support the podcast and the channel at Stellar Spark Studios. I appreciate you listening, and that's all I have for today. please consider checking out the website as well. Just wanted to provide this podcast update because I know that things have been transpiring between the two countries and continually escalating. So hopefully there will be a peaceful solution to this crisis as much as possible. Let me know what you guys think. And again, my name is Chris and I'm host of the Seller Spark Show, signing off. Until next time.